You know, we're arguing here about what percentage fat yogurt I should be eating. And Lisa just told me that. What do the kids always say? You're not my boss.
No. It's from that movie, Boogie Nights. You're not the king of me. I'm the king of me. So I said, Joy was not the king of you.
So I finally wrestled free my 2% total yogurt. Put some granola in. So I feel resuscitated because I'm having a great conversation now about a topic that a lot of us suffer from, but don't talk about that much, certainly not in the context that we're going to talk about today. And our guest today, Michael Gilbert, is someone who has an expertise in chronic pain. And too many Americans turn to medications or surgery sometimes even for pain conditions, when often it's an understanding of what makes the body parts fit together and work together, not just anatomically, but physiologically. What lets them move in the way they're supposed to move that allows us to function pain-free. And it's that process that we're going to challenge Michael Gilbert on today. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Nice to be here.
A little bit of background. Michael's been studying, teaching, practicing, researching, working, doing everything possible to get people out of pain for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. His work's inspired from various disciplines that he studied. And a lot of them come back to this bigger issue of managing energy, which is something we've spoken about on the show a fair amount. You've studied massage therapy at the Swedish Institute in New York City. And a big background, including Rolfing, which we had in the show recently with Oprah in Boulder, Colorado. Speaking about the Oprah show, you're commenting that you've been noticing how people sit on the show. So what do you think, for example, of some of the guests that she has on?
Well, it was interesting because I was watching when Gail King was on. I don't remember who the guest was, to be honest with you, because I was paying more attention to how people were using their bodies. But it was funny because she always crosses her left leg over her right leg. And there's nothing wrong with crossing your legs as long as you're making sure that you use both sides of your body. Mm-hmm. So if she's only going to do one side of the body over and over, the body learns that pattern and then loses its ability to change shape. And that's the whole thing I'm trying to get people to understand, is you don't want to get stuck in one pattern or one way of doing something. Otherwise, you get stuck and you limit the body in the way it can function over time.
So what would it do now for, Oprah and Friends Channel is a foundation program, which is the Gail King Show. So we're going to put a video cam in the show and just tape Gail from, let's say, the next, 6 to 8 months, and put that video cam tie in at Oprah.com. We're going to be able to keep track
of her. Let's hope she's not listening so she can't tell.
Gail, if you're out there listening.
I mean, I just say it was just funny to see that because I was like, Pazit was sitting next to me. I said, look, she just crosses her left leg over right. It was... You know,
how about Oprah? Does she cross her legs the right way?
Well, it wasn't crossing her legs. Oprah moves around a lot.
She does.
Yeah.
So she's.
And
so,
it was only that one show that I really paid attention to. And
maybe
noticed,
the next day, Gail crossed her right leg over her left.
Maybe. Let's hope so.
Rolfing. I've been Rolfed. Rolfing can be uncomfortable at times.
Absolutely.
But so can acupressure and a lot of other therapies that we think might be useful. Does Rolfing have to be? Actually, just define Rolfing for listeners out there and then give us a little insight into it.
Well, Rolfing is a way of looking at the body as a three-dimensional object. That's the gist of it. Many Rolfers can use different techniques, but what they're doing is going after the myofascial components to make them more pliable so the body doesn't come back to the same idea of getting stuck.
Well, so, to do that, you have to go deeper than Swedish massage, for example, would take you.
Well, not necessarily. The idea is that the body's opening under effort. So what you want to do is, and this is what I'm trying to point out to a lot of people, it's not so much the therapy as the idea of increasing surface area over time. So when you're unlocking joints, the more joints that can move, the more surface area the body can cover at any given moment. And that's what I'm trying to show is in a lot of different methods you can start to see from acupuncture, chiropractic work, Rolfing, Feldenkrais, yoga. If you're teaching the body to open versus close, you increase surface area over time as a function. Right. We tend to think of surface area as the table or the outside of the body. But if you think of it as an object moving through space, the more joints that can move and change shape, the more surface area.
Talking with Michael Gilbert, physical therapist, about surface area. What do you do personally?
Personally,
to stay loose, to stay limber. He looks like Gumby over there.
Gumby.
He's probably
very flexible.
That's not the first person that said it.
You probably touch your heels to the back of your head to show off.
Yes, and I'm 48 years old, and people are like, your body moves like a 20-year-old.
Well, he looks like a 20-year-old, but no one likes to show off, Michael.
Oh, well. Sorry I said the age.
So do you have a routine you do personally?
Just practice yoga. That's basically what I do. I run once, maybe once a month. I go for a jog, and that's it. But a lot of yoga. That's what I mostly what I do is use yoga and different postures, especially with people in chronic pain, just to get them to unlock their body.
So let's talk about pain more specifically.
Sure.
When folks come to you with aches and pains, but perhaps they're focused in one area, they're having shoulder pain, and they feel neck pain. They're just stiff. Mm-hmm. So how do you sort of start the process?
The first thing I do is to try and get them realize that they're not broken. Like I had one case study. This guy came to me. He had pain in his shoulder, neck, left shoulder, neck. He'd been pain for about 20 years. He'd tried many different alternative medicines. Exercise physiologists, doctors, osteopaths, a long list of things. They told him they needed to operate on his neck. And I was the first person to come along and looked at him and said, "You're not broken." That was, if all these wonderful, talented people, and he named off some famous people, were looking at him and they couldn't find anything broken, then the next premise would be, then you're not broken. So what I did is I started looking at his body. Instead of going to his neck and shoulder, I went to his opposite hip.
Why?
Well, it's a three-dimensional object. If you find that one side is tense and pulling in, then you have to figure the other side as a compensation is going to pull in as well. So when I worked on his opposite hip, he had a huge amount of pain in his hip that he didn't have on the other side. It was a diagonal.
Right.
So what I did is I showed him some exercises to do on the floor to open up that hip, and his shoulder improved. So he called me up I worked with him for like 10 weeks. He called me up after 10 weeks, and he said, "You won't believe it. I woke up this morning. My neck was killing me. I had this meeting at 2 p.m. that was the turning point in my life. I couldn't lift my arm up, and I said to myself, okay, it's not broken, so I'm going to believe this guy." So he took a hot shower, he stretched for 20 minutes, took another hot shower, anything to relax the tension. And then he went to work, kept stretching, and by 12 noon he said it was completely gone, he was perfectly fine. And he went to his meeting and did wonderful.
You know,
that's just a case study.
Yeah, I must say, every once in a while I'll get stiff from operating.
Right.
And it usually manifests itself by some pain that I'm pretty sure is some terminal illness.
Yeah,
most
see,
doctors diagnose themselves.
Everybody goes
that way.
Immediately, like, right. I'm dead, I'm dying.
Is it lymphoma or maybe it's some kind of osteosarcoma? And then you realize maybe I'm just stiff. So I go to see the physical therapist that I work with, great guy, Evan is his first name.
Right.
And Evan, you know, takes me, manipulates me, bends me, sometimes tries to break me. And I'm usually within a day of doing some of that limbering work, feeling a lot better. But then he also shows me exercise, specifically tailored programs to do the kinds of things you're talking about, to strengthen often an opposite side. And I must say, I am struck at how often it's not where it hurts that's the problem.
Right.
It's a joint away.
Right.
If it's my knee, it's my hip that's the problem, or if it's my shoulder, it's the opposite
side.
So, but when you go through and try to teach people these programs, you usually leave them with an action set of...
Yeah, but only like four different stretches. If you give them more than four or five, they're just not going to do it.
If they do their four, your success rates, ideas?
Oh, much better. I mean, I tell them 5-10 minutes every day or a couple times a day, like this guy. He realized he woke up, he has this huge meeting, he's under a lot of stress, his body's tensing, which is a reflex.
Right.
He's not doing it mentally, it's just that's what the body does under anxiety. So he took a hot shower, did his stretches, he put the time into it, he's fine.
Now, you've got a couple of big myths here I know we had spoken to you about. One of the myths that I've been chastising my kids about a lot recently is the fact they need to stand up straight, have a good posture, feel like their back top of the head is being pulled by a string.
Right.
You argue that maybe slouching is okay.
Well, this is what I call postural intelligence.
What's a postural?
Well, postural intelligence is to realize that the intelligence is to know to change shape.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay still for long periods of time, your body stiffens, tightens, and it loses its ability to change shape. So sitting up tall can be just as bad as slouching if you don't change shape. In other words, you should slouch, you should sit up tall, you should sit on one hip, you should sit on the other hip, cross the right leg, cross the left leg.
I'm going to leave the room.
Sure. In other words, the more ways that you can change shape, the more ways you're dissipating tension.
To be fidgety, Mehmet. Well, see?
He's as he was fidgeting, he left the mic. He went like, can you still hear me over here?
Oh, did I move too far away?
It's perfect. You're living the experience. No, it's perfect. So that's good. So
Well, let me give you a really good case study. I had a woman that came to me. She's a concert pianist, travels all over the world. Mm-hmm. She had pain in both shoulders. They had looked at her. They told her that they'd probably have to operate. They were going to try shots of steroids, cortisone shots.
Right.
And she did physical therapy. She did massage therapy. Nothing was helping. And she came to me after 6 months. And I just looked at her after 10 minutes of talking to her, and I said, this woman has to learn how to slouch.
Hmm.
And that's all I did, because she was very tender. She didn't like to be touched. So I just sat her down in a chair, and I just taught her how to slouch. It's like, I can't slouch. That's not, I would, you know, she was like 65 or 59 years old, and had this whole concept in her head. And she called me up. I only worked with her once. She went off, and she practiced for a week, and she called me up and told me she was out of pain a week later. Hmm. And she flew off and did a concert. But again, it's that same premise of she thought that she had to work the body a certain way. She wasn't changing shape.
I'm here with Michael Gilbert, physical therapist, talking a lot about pain therapy. So, you know, we have in our studio here, Jazz and Lincoln Center, a monitor so we can see Chicago. Mm-hmm. So if you look at that monitor there, you can see John St. Augustine. And I want you to help me understand the difference between slouching and looking slovenly. So if you look at him right now,
Are we on the radio right now?
Yeah, yeah. He's got the white hat on there.
Yeah.
He looks sort of apoplectic there. So that's how he usually sits. Now, just give me a quick analysis of him. I mean, first of all, start off with a projected... you can sit back now. It's fine. Now, okay. So give me a projected IQ. All right. Now,
that would be like in a yoga class, walking around and putting numbers on the floor. Okay, good, bad, to the students.
All right. So give me a quick idea. If he slouches like that the entire time I'm doing the
bad
show.
Then he gets a low IQ.
Okay, so now you talk to you have IQ. Is that right?
There's IQ, EQ. This is kind of PQ.
PQ.
The quotient is the idea that you have to think and pay attention to how your body feels. And the problem is a lot of people get caught up in their head and they stop feeling their body. So their body's screaming, move, move, move. You see kids all the time. They don't sit around.
No.
People train themselves not to pay attention to their bodies until they're screaming bloody murder.
But John's a great athlete. I actually had him over at my house playing basketball. And contrary to his slovenly appearance now, he can dunk the ball. He can get up
in
the air.
But that's fine. If he can sit like that and he's doing other things.
Hey, Michael, let me ask you a question about Dr.
Oz. Moving around,
oh, he can't hear you.
He's great.
Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to have to hear a rebuttal.
That's right.
From John St. Augustine, who has a few words of wisdom for us.
Choice words.
Choice words, perhaps, yes. Might be a better way of saying it.
Well, putting him on the spotlight there.
We're here with Michael Gilbert. We're talking about pain, particularly chronic pain management, the role of the body, and how it can heal itself if we understand how it works. We'll be right back for Oprah and Friends XM 156.